For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, December 31st, 1980. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Lee Ellenwood of San Fernando, California, is the teacher of this morning. This is tape 3 of 3 services on the 4 living creatures of Revelation.
All right, this morning we'll talk to you about the ox. Won't it be wonderful when we won't have to draw this anymore? Well, I suppose 1.5 million times or something like that. It is usually said that the holy place is twice as large as the Holy of Holies. This isn't actually found in the Bible, but tradition tells us that, so we've accepted it. All right, so here's the throne of God, and we've talked to you about the man. We're talking about these living creatures, which are people, and they were prefigured over in the Old Testament by the cherubim in the book of Ezekiel elsewhere. And so here is the figure of the man, and we have been telling you that people are coming up here. It's people, people who have been redeemed by the blood, out of every kindred and nation and tribe and tongue, people. So we're telling you not to try to escape your humanity. You are to thank God for your humanity. Jesus could hardly wait to become a man, to become incarnate. And you'll find that a lot of issues will be settled in your life with yourself when you begin to realize that you were created a man, a human, and that God's great purposes and destinies are in humans. Praise the Lord. How many of you are proud now that you're a human? Now remember, we're making a distinction here between our basic and essential humanity and the old carnal nature that intruded. What God is doing, He's separating the two. When we go through the veil, we lose the last of that old carnal nature, the last of the Adamic nature, as I see it. All right, remember that these living creatures are the expression and the representative of God. God has manifested Himself in a fourfold way. He did it in Christ. All right, here's the man. Now, we've talked about the eagle. I guess we'll have to put the eagle on top up here. Whenever I talk about the eagle, I have a little complex. I always think this is Bill Britton's field, you know, because those of you that know Bill Britton know his emphasis upon the eagle. And if you go over to his home, how many of you have ever been in Bill's home? Several of you? And it's all loaded with eagles. People from all over the country have given him eagles, or they've flown there or something. And he has eagles all over the country in his home and in the place where he makes the tapes and so on. All right, so the eagle. We had some lessons on the eagle, E-A-G-L-E. And remember that God is making eagles. He's not interested in collecting nests. Remember when you were a small boy? Girls don't usually do this. But when you were a small boy, you were, at one time or another in your life, a collector of birds' nests. You'd bring the stinky things home, you know, have them around in your room, and one day, perhaps when you were gone, your mother collected them all and put them in the furnace. A lot of people are interested in the nest. They want a perfected body. They want everything organized just so. They want to make sure that everything is just working properly. But the nest is essential. And I teach on building nests like any other minister might. It's essential, but it's not the ultimate. God is making eagles. Okay, remember how Papa and Mama pushed him out of the nest and all those things. Then over here we have the lion. We spoke about him, and yesterday we had a lesson in lion talk. I hope you all got those words down. We're not going to take time this morning to review on them, but there's a lion vocabulary. See, one of the things that God is doing right now, He is bringing back a spirit of militarism to His people. We're moving from the agricultural to the military. We're in a state of transition, and in times past, we have talked about sheep and sheepfolds and sowing and planting and vines and grapes and all of these things. But over in Joel, we find that we are to beat our plowshares, our rakes and hoes and tractors, and we're to beat them into spears and swords and tanks and warplanes. See, we're in that transition period. Not all people are going to respond to this, but these that go through the veil are going to have a military spirit. This is what this place here in Lake Hamilton is all about. All right, this morning we're going to talk about Mr. Ox down here, or sometimes it's the calf. It's all the same as Bowman. And probably this is, you know, the least glamorous of all, but in one sense, I think maybe the ox is the most important. Now, we're going to give you three Hebrew words this morning for the ox. First of all, he is called a shor. All right, that's an S, H, and that's an O, and that's an R. And the Hebrew word is shor. All right, the word shor is found in the Hebrew 76 times. It's translated bull one time, bullock 11 times, cow 2 times, ox 61 times, and wall 1 time. And I'm just going to run down some scriptures very rapidly here. Maybe not too rapidly, but most of them will be. I'll just mention them. But over in Exodus 34:19, it says that all that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox, shor, or sheep, that is male. We have this also in Leviticus 27:26. Now notice something here. The shor, the ox, is used as a symbol of that which opens the matrix. Now, I want to just drop a little line of thinking here for you, and you can develop it yourself. The inner veil, the last veil, is the matrix. We told you that the holy place out here is feminine, and the holy of holies is masculine. And that sun-clothed woman is out here in the holy place. The body of Christ church, the lampstand church, is out here in the holy place. And the church is always referred to in the feminine. But out of this woman comes a male child, over in Revelation, the 12th chapter. She brings forth a man child, or a male child. We are at the point of being born. Now, we're talking about these that God is apprehending for this positioning in the Holy of Holies. They are at the place of birth. You say, well, weren't we born again down here? That's true. But there's another birth for these that will go on in God, and the birth is at the veil. So many times people don't understand this, and they say, well, hasn't Jesus opened the veil so that we can all come in? Yes, he has done this. He has opened the veil so that all of us may have access in prayer to the throne of grace. But here we're talking about something else. We're talking about populations. And down here, God has the company of people in the midst of the Spirit-baptized people. We've mentioned this to you. And this is the people that are hungry for everything that God has. And they're willing to put everything on the line to get everything that God has for them. Now, this isn't the entire motivation, of course. And so, at the coming of the Lord, they are going to be birthed into the Holy of Holies. This is expressed in the ox. The ox that opens the matrix belongs unto God. So if we want to go through this veil, see, this truth is connected with the ox. If we want to go through the veil, we have to be more than just an eagle and a lion. We have to be an ox. Now, we can hoop it up real good when we talk about the eagle, and real good when we talk about the lion. But when we talk about the ox, everything gets strangely silent sometimes. We'll probably not have a Jericho march over this. The ox. But the ox is connected with the breaking through of the veil. Remember that this is the mountain of the Lord. And the mountain of the Lord is Jerusalem. And the Holy of Holies, or the top of the mountain, is Zion. And the psalmist talks about those that are born in Zion. This man and that man, it is said, has been born in Zion. And God has some people that are coming into a further birth, and they're going to be birthed out of this dimension, and they're going to be birthed into this dimension up here. And these are that Zion people. He's going to bring them into redeemed bodies, changed bodies. And this changed body will have a state of being far greater and more wondrous than the state of being of any of the others in the kingdom of God, even including those that are in the holy place. You see, right now, we are in the womb, and it's dark in the womb. But God is fashioning a man-child in the womb. One day the Lord spoke to my heart and said that whether I realized it or not, that He was doing His work in my life, even when I was sleeping. That little babe in the womb
keeps on growing and developing, even though the mother sleeps. That holy thing in her keeps on growing. And right now, in the midst of the Spirit-baptized people, God has a child that is soon to be brought forth. And even when you don't realize it, this wondrous work in the womb is going on all the time. He is changing you little by little, bringing you more and more into the conformity of the image of the Son of God, developing and perfecting the fruit of the Spirit within you. Hallelujah. One of these days, there's going to be a breaking out of the womb, and these people are going to be born into a realm that no other people will ever be able to come into. That's why I tell people, let's walk so carefully before God, not fool around, not be careless, but search out the ways of the Lord. See, we're telling you how to go through the veil. It is the ox nature, the ox part, that opens up the matrix and lets these people out. And apparently, the time will come when they're going to be the people sought after. As it says in the psalm there, well, this man came from Zion, you know. And we say that here are the communities of the earth. And one day, some of these people from the throne will come to visit them. And they say, oh, one of the Zion people is coming to visit us. And there will be excitement in the town because that Zion man will bring blessing to the people and illumination and hallelujah. So the ox opens up the matrix. We have Jesus, the man-child. And Mary is in the holy place. Her man-child was birthed, and then he was caught up to the throne. And incidentally, over in Acts, the 13th chapter, in the 33rd verse, it tells us there that it was at his resurrection that he was declared to be the Son of God. You say, well, when he was incarnate, wasn't he the Son of God? Yes. But it's talking about a special relationship there. And it's in the coming into the changed body and into the ascension that we become sons of God in the fullest sense. This hasn't happened yet. You kind of be a little bit wary of these people that go around telling you that they are the manifested sons. If they were manifested, none of us could stand in their presence. Let's walk some humbly before the Lord. Let's not be presumptuous. This is a very holy thing. Hallelujah. Very holy thing. Annie, in two or three of her visions, sees this. See, she sees God in travail. And she says it's as though the drama of Mary is soon to be reenacted. But she said it can't be. She doesn't understand her own vision. But it is. The drama of Mary is about to be reenacted. And a holy thing is coming out from the church. A holy people. A holy son. And going to be joined unto that other son. Hallelujah. And come up into the throne of God. Praise the Lord. All right. We're talking now about the shore. In Proverbs 14:4, we find that the ox is strong. It speaks of the strength of the ox. In Numbers 22:4, it says, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. As a herd of cattle goes along, they just eat up all of the grass of the field. And this is a picture, another picture of strength. In Exodus 21:28 and verse 29, it says here that the ox can push, or in the Hebrew, the word is to gore, and it pushes with a horn. Again, speaking of strength, this ox is not a weakling. This ox is a strong thing, and it's going to be able to gore. Now, we mentioned to you about the lamb with seven horns. I believe that the Lord, of course, is that lamb, and the seven horns are this this company of people that God is raising up in the end time, a perfected company of strength. But I want you to notice that the horns are attached to the lamb. They're on the head of the lamb. The power and the authority that God is going to bring forth is going to be based upon the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross, the shedding of blood. You're not going to go out and gore people just because you don't like them. But the goring is going to be an operation of God in which the Lamb plus His people are going to destroy the wicked. See, it's going to be under God. And the head of the Lamb, the mind of Christ will be in this. in effecting the going forth of the horn. Hallelujah. All right, over in Deuteronomy 22:10, we find that the ox is yoked for the purpose of plowing. In Isaiah 33:20, it is yoked for the purpose of sowing. In Deuteronomy 25:4, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. This has to do with the threshing. The ox has to do, then, with the bringing forth of a harvest. And there's no harvest unless somebody works at it. I run across these people that are just waiting for God to come and do everything. God employs people. And this is the ox thing. Hallelujah. A lot of people, you know, like to come to the services when we can all fly like the eagle. That's glorious. But when somebody comes along and says, here, let's get a yoke on ourselves and begin to plow and begin to plant seed, and later on to thresh out that seed and to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, everybody's gone. The building's empty. You ever notice that, Glenn? Hallelujah. Word to the wise here is sufficient. In Job 24:3, the ox is used as a pledge. In Deuteronomy 14:4, it is a clean beast, unblemished. In Leviticus 22:1-27, it was an animal of sacrifice. This is the shore now that we're talking about. In Leviticus 17:3, it was not eaten in the wilderness. They ate only manna in the wilderness, but it was an animal of sacrifice. In the end time, we find that oxen were used in bringing back the ark. I'm not talking now about the house of Obed-Edom and so on, the incident that took place there. But when they brought back the ark, they went six steps, and then at the seventh step in bearing the ark, they stopped and they sacrificed. They sacrificed oxen. Now, this is a picture of the Lord coming back into his position in the earth as king. He's not coming back solo. He has a company of people that is going to bring him back. See, there's two philosophies here. You know, I think we mentioned this. Some people say, well, the Lord is going to come. He's going to cleanse up the earth. First, before he does that, you know, he's going to catch us all away and set us up on one of the rings of Saturn. Is it Saturn has rings? And when he gets it all done, has the earth all sanitary, then he'll bring it back and give it to us. That isn't the picture in the Word of God. When David came to the throne, David did not lift a hand to take the throne, but David had the mighty men that fought for him and took the throne. Even the last stage of taking it, the taking of Zion from the Jebusites, was affected by the mighty men. They brought David to the throne. And God is raising up a people in this end time that's going to bring back Jesus to the throne. Hallelujah. These are the oxen people. And sometimes in bringing the Lord back to the throne, in this we have to be slain. How many of you have been slain? And you started out in this move. Maybe your family, let's say verb there, slew? Slaughtered. All right, let's say slaughtered. You found you were slaughtered. They rejected you. Maybe your business failed. You wondered, well, why did my business fail? You know, sometimes God is in the failure of a business. I teach the other side of the coin sometimes on this prosperity teaching. I remember my friend, Brother Dowell, down in San Diego, you know him. And he was the manager of a Safeway store in La Jolla. And I heard him tell one time that he just loved to sell carrots. And he would get carrots by the truckload. He'd put them out on the sidewalk on big tables, you know, and he could just sell carrots, you know, like nobody's business. But he said, the time came when I couldn't sell carrots. Why? Because I believe that God was apprehending him to help bring back the ark. And so his carrot business got slaughtered. And you'll find in your life as you move along with God that God will slaughter something every once in a while in your life. These oxen are slaughtered in bringing back the ark. Okay, you can work on that and some more. Praise the Lord. All right, we find in Job 21:10 that the ox is life-giving. Over in Psalm 144:19, and this is another Hebrew word, but we'll put it in here, it says that their bull gendereth. This people is not a barren people and destitute of life. Their bull gendereth. All right, there's some more scriptures, but I want them. Oh, one more here. The ox is connected with worship in Psalm 69:30-31. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than the ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. See, in the natural, the natural shore was used. The natural bull, ox, was used in sacrifice. But the Word of God teaches us that our lips are the oxen that God wants. Our confession, our worship, and our praise. Praise the Lord. All right, now we're going to take another word for ox. And this word is from the root, that's a B. This letter here without the dot is B. With a dot, it is a B. And I'm giving you the root here, B. And that's a K sound or a C sound. With a dot in there, it's an emphatic sound. If you were writing it in English, you would double the letter, like the T in little or something like that. And let's see, here's a B, A, C, A, R, bakar. And the word for ox is taken from this root, and it is bokar. Bakar. The voweling's a little bit different here. Bakar. All right, and the root here means to cleave and to open and to examine and to look out. The root for this word for ox is bakar, and it means to cleave or to open or to examine or to look out. And so this word for ox, bakar, comes from that root. And let's see if we have something here. It's translated beev 7 times, bull 9 times, cow 1 time, great cattle 1 time, a herd 44 times, kine 2 times, ox 3 times, and oxen 75 times. All right, what is the thought now in back of this? Let's see, we'll put the English here. B-O. I don't know just how to transliterate this, but it'd be something like this. All right, now what is the thought then in back of the oxen here? See, we're talking about one of these living creatures. This is a characteristic of God. And it's a characteristic that he will implant in his people because his people are a projection of himself. And as a projection of himself, they become the representatives of him. So the thought here then is to cleave and to open. Now there are two thoughts here. The ox is an animal that cleaves the ground as he goes along. He's a heavy animal. And he breaks the ground. And then there's another thought here that he was used in breaking the ground, in plowing, he actually broke the ground. And so God has a people that is pioneering. They're breaking the ground. They're opening up new ways. They go into virgin territory. And they open up the way so that others can follow. This is a thought in back of the oxen here. Now, there's something very interesting about this root. From this root comes also another word, which is B-O-C-E-R, pronounced boker. And the word boker means literally to break forth in light. It's the word that is used for the morning. Praise the Lord. You turn over to 2 Samuel and the 23rd chapter. And here David is talking about the qualifications of a king. See, he's still talking about the Holy of Holies up here because that is where the king is. That's the high kingship. And in the third verse, 2 Samuel 23, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the boker, a word that is allied with ox. He will be as the light of the boker, when the sun riseth, even as a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springeth out of the earth by clear shining after rain. So what is the picture here? These that come up into the Holy of Holies are going to be the sunrise of the day of the Lord. And he will bring them up because they've been walking in that path of light, which for them is growing brighter and brighter toward that perfect day. The day of the Lord begins in Revelation, the first chapter, and it begins with a sunrise. And Jesus appears at his coming, and he is like the sun, shining in its strength. Already, we are in the dawn of a new day. The sun hasn't come up over the horizon yet, but it's getting light. Where I sleep at home, usually I wake up before the sun comes up, and the light comes into my room. And if I lie there for a little while, Pretty soon I see the sun coming up. We're in that position right now. The sun is about ready to come over the horizon and pour forth its light. And in doing this, it will cleave the darkness. Getting back to this idea of the ox, the idea of cleaving. And so when the day breaks, remember we've shown you that when the day breaks, it's going to be with the rising of eight suns. S-U-N-S. How many of you remember that teaching? Eight suns. And it's going to be a fantastic day. Hallelujah. What would you think if when you got up in the morning, you saw eight suns coming up over the horizon? There'll never be a day like it. That's that Holy One in Revelation 1, apprehending the seven other suns in His hand, and together they make those eight suns. And this is Boker. This is sunrise. And when they come, they're going to cleave the darkness. Hallelujah. They're going to cleave it. Hallelujah. Wherever their rays go, darkness will have to flee. And all of these mighty powers of darkness are going to have to come down until all the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. This is all connected with the ox. I think the ox is kind of a glamorous figure after all, huh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we want to give you a third word in the Hebrew that has to do with the ox. And here the root is aleph. I don't know if you can see through all this. Here the word is aleph. That's an A, or the root is aleph. This is a silent letter. This is an A. This is an L. And you double it, and this is A-L-A. And that's an F. That's the root, aleph. Aleph, I should say. Aleph. And here the root means to accustom oneself, to become familiar. And hence, it means to become tame or gentle. Jeremiah 11:19 here, as a beast. It means to learn. Matthew 11:29 here. It also means to join together. And so out of this, we get the word eleph, another cognate, which means a family or a thousand. All right, what is the meaning in all of this? Well, this people here, this ox people then, one of their names is Aleph. And the thought is that they have become tamed. That's what God's doing with us. See, evil spirits are wild. They have rebelled. And it seems they have no desire ever to come back under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't know what's happened in the past. Perhaps they had the opportunity and turned it down. But God has a people that wants to come up into the Holy of Holies. They are an ox people, and they are tamed. Tamed. How many of you are tamed this morning? We find in the Word of God that an ox and an ass are not to be yoked together. God said concerning Ishmael that he would be a wild man. In the Hebrew, it says he'll be a wild ass man. He had the right father, but the wrong mother. He was the result of a union of the spirit with the flesh. We've been through that before, you know. If you marry spirit to spirit, you're going to have spirit. If you marry flesh to flesh, you're going to have flesh. And if you marry spirit to flesh, you get flesh. He says not to join an ox to an ass. Now, I'd like to just kind of emphasize this a little bit. Be careful who your associates are. If you want to be in this company that goes through the veil, if you want to be an ox, don't hook up with an ass, a man who is rebellious, a man who doesn't recognize authority, a man that won't come under submission. Don't hook up with him, because the result of this union will be nothing but more flesh. Not half flesh and half spirit, but it will be all flesh. Well, hallelujah. Be careful who your associates are, who you run around with. Be careful what kind of a church you go to. There are congregations, I know of one on the West Coast, that consists of people who couldn't get along in any other church. They're noted for this. If you've had a spat with the church that you've been going to and you don't like the way they're doing, well, this congregation over here will welcome you with wide arms. They are a congregation of wild asses. And if you want to be an ox, Be careful with whom you associate, with whom you fellowship. This has to do in every area of our lives. We're not to yoke the ox and the ass together. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to look at Matthew, the 11th chapter, just very carefully here. And then I think this will kind of close our messages on the beasts, the living creatures. All right, Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Ponder that. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We don't have to take the yoke. We don't have to be among the ox people. But he invites us to do it. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What is the picture here? The picture is of Jesus as an ox. And let's say that he's over here. And here's the yoke. And under this side of the yoke, there's an empty spot. And he says, why don't you come over and take my yoke upon you? Not compulsory. It's an invitation. Really, it is compulsory if we want the fullness of God in our lives. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Huh? Yeah. But there's something more in here. You see, after we take the yoke upon us, then he releases his truth into our lives. Now, some of you folks perhaps are wondering, well, why doesn't the Lord just open up the things of God to me? This parallels the taking of the yoke. One time, I probably told this here, one time out in Oregon, a young man came to me, and I'm not setting my fourth self forth here as one who has perfected, you know, the taking of the yoke. But this young man came to me, and he said, Brother Ellenwood, he said, where do you get all these things? And they prophesied over him that he's going to be a teacher. And incidentally, you know, you've heard me say this, I'm not a teacher. I'm something else. I'm going to tell you why. And teaching is only an implement. I just kind of want to set the record straight here. I'm not a teacher, but teaching is a tool. So anyway, he said, where do you get all of these things? Nice young kid, you know, about 17 years old, bright and dedicated to the Lord. And see, some people have the idea that if you're going to move out into truth, that you have to have some great revelation from God, you know. The Lord's going to knock you off from your horse. Paul, it doesn't say he was riding a horse when he went to Damascus, but everybody assumes that. And you're going to get a great blinding light, and out of this will be birthed, you know, wonderful revelations and visions and so on that you can give to people. It doesn't come that way. It doesn't come that way. So I told him, well, I said, you know, sometimes it takes some living. And God teaches us through living. You remember, I've given you the formula for the shortcut, you know, the shortcut formula for going through the veil. How many of you remember that? We have the long form and the short form on how to go through the veil. I'll just give it to you very briefly. The short form is to confess that you're going to go through the veil. Not in presumption now, but in all humility before God. You tell God, God, I'm going to go through that veil. Confess it to him. Declare it. And then the number two word is submit. Maybe that's kind of the joker here. Submit. And say, Lord, I submit myself to you to bring forth every dealing in my life that is needed to qualify me to go through the veil. That's the short form. I can expand it into the long forms. There are several of them in the Word of God, but that's the short form in case you're in a hurry here. Don't have time to listen to all the long forms we have. See, this is kind of one of the long forms here we've been giving you in these messages. And so things are going to happen to you. And I found in my own life, things happened to me. One time, we had four deaths in our family in 4 months, including that of my wife. Been through a fire. I had a nursery in Southern California. We had one of those Santana winds. And in just a matter of minutes, my whole operation was burned to the ground. Well, you learn a lot of things, you know, in life. You've all had these experiences. I'm nothing special here. Went through an earthquake one time, you know. You folks were down there during that earthquake, weren't you? The Sylmar earthquake. Right on top of it. And I learned some wonderful things there. I found that there's no solid ground in the natural. These experiences sort of punctuate the truths that we learned in theory, you know. Oh, I learned so many things from that earthquake. I won't take time to go through them all. She ran, you know, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure Speed here has learned a lot of things from experience. You know, mine are quite mild to him. I've never been shot down yet. But all those things, huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But life, God teaches us through life. And so there are many ways that God has in fashioning us in our ministry. You have to do a lot of living. You have to experience a lot of things. And I told this fellow, I said, you know, sometimes you just have to lie across the bed for several hours. Maybe the Holy Spirit is quickening something to you. And the Lord indicates that He wants to kind of expand it to you. And there's something, when we meditate on the Word of God, that Word becomes increased unto us. And there's a shining in it, an illumination in it. Hattie Hammond used to say that sometimes in between meetings, and she had a living word from the Lord. It's been a blessing to hundreds of thousands of people, I'm sure. And she said that sometimes between meetings, she would rent a motel between Sundays and just lie across the bed while God was opening up His truth to her. I almost forgot what I was talking about here. Oh, it's taking the yoke, taking the yoke. And in all of this, you have to submit yourself to the Lord. You have to keep bowing before Him. You've got to make sure that you feel the pressure of that yoke. Thank the Lord, as they say, He carries the heavy side of it. And He gives us the light side. But we still have to feel the pressure of that yoke. And I want to say this morning, that all true revelation and understanding comes forth through the people that have taken the yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I hear so many times, you know, people say, well, you have to learn to put the bones up on the shelf. No, what is it? You don't put them on the shelf. But you have to learn to separate the meat from the bones, you know. I think there's something more to this than that. I'm finding myself more and more reluctant to listen to the tapes of men that I know are not bearing the yoke. You say, well, it doesn't make any difference. When you eat a can of a soup, you don't go and inquire, was the man saved that grew the peas? Was the man saved that picked them? And so on. You just open the can and eat it. But I think in the realm of the Spirit, there's something else. I think that in these teachings sometimes, there are overtones put into the truth that may damage us. And there's a certain book that a lot of the charismatic people carry, and I'm kind of bold about this one. I tell them, I say, I think you ought to throw that one out. Why? Well, I know a lot about the man that wrote those books. I think he's a phony. I think he's made up those stories. But a lot of people read them, and a lot of people get good out of them, and they refer to them in the meetings. But to me, I just don't want to touch them. I've got several of the books in my library, but I just don't touch them. No. Don't ask me, because I'm not going to tell you here. But I think that the man has something to do with the output of his life. And if he's a rebellious man, if he's a phony, even if he has mixture in his life, all the people aren't phony, but some people have mixtures in their lives. If a man has divorced his wife and married his secretary, I just don't want to read his writing. Because here's the principle. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yes, amen.
And when we come under the full lordship of Jesus Christ and are walking in His ways, then that output of truth is going to be, I believe, much more pure. It's going to be wholesome. It's going to be balanced. It's going to do the work of feeding the soul and spirit. Bless the body. Take my yoke upon you. And I would suggest to you, if you're having difficulty in understanding the Word, and it just seems nothing to you, get down first and say to the Lord, Lord, I take my yoke upon you. I'm going to be one of these oxen, and I take my yoke upon you. All right, one more thought here in closing. Let's turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I bet the seats got hard when David gave this psalm. How many verses does it have? 160. Now, this psalm is perhaps could be called an acrostic. It's divided into a number of portions here, and each portion is introduced by a letter of the alphabet. Now, we've had lessons in flying. We've had lessons in, what did we have the other day? Lion language. Now we're going to have a lesson in grammar, ABC. The psalm is divided into a series of eight verses. In the Hebrew, these are natural divisions. Section number 1, beginning with verse 1, says, blessed are the undefiled. In the Hebrew, this verse would begin with the letter A. And the second verse begins with a letter A. The third verse begins with a letter A. The fourth, the fifth, sixth, and seventh, and eighth verses all begin with a letter A. Then you have eight verses in which all of them begin with B. And so on down through the Hebrew alphabet. There's another place or two in the Word of God where this is found. Now, I don't know what your Bible has. I think all of your Bibles will have the Hebrew letter. My Bible here has the name of that Hebrew letter, which is what? Aleph. That same root here. Aleph. And these letters are not only letters, but they are also names. And some of your Bibles will have that, I think. Now, for example, the first eight verses here, Aleph, and the word Aleph is ox. The next eight letters all begin with a B and has to do with house. It's the house, bait, the house. The third one is Gimel, and our word camel comes from the Hebrew Gimel, has to do with the camel. And then you have the door and the window and the hook and the weapon and the fence and so on, right down through the Hebrew alphabet. Each one of these sections is prefaced not only by the letter, but the word that the letter represents, that the letter is. Now, you see, in this psalm, we're learning the ways of the Lord. And it begins with Aleph, or the ox. Isn't that beautiful? I think I mentioned a friend of mine, and somebody made the remark about him that he was never content to start at the bottom. He always wanted to start at the top. So when he went out to get a church, he didn't think in terms of taking a little group and building it up. But he went into one of the big cities and became the pastor of quite a considerable church. But a lot of people are like that in the spirit. They don't want to start at the bottom. They want to start up there at the top. I put the ox down here at the bottom because it is the ox that breaks the matrix, and it's the ox that shows us the way. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at that verse just a little bit. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Talking now about the ox. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now, you'll notice in these eight verses that the great emphasis is placed upon the Word of God and is expressed to us in seven words. And I'll just run these through quickly. It speaks of the way in verse 1, verse 3, and verse 5. And the word way in the Hebrew means a trodden path. If you're going to be among God's oxen people, you're not always going to be running off on all of these novelties that are coming along. You're going to stay in the trodden path. Praise the Lord. All right, the way. Then it speaks of the law in verse 1. And the word law means a direction or a teaching. You're going to go to the Word of God for your direction and for your teaching. Number 3 word is testimonies in verse 2. And the word testimony here means a witness. You're going to witness unto the Word of God. In verse 4, the precept. And a precept is a charge. Here you have, as some people call it, the rhema. It's God's Word to you. Sometimes along with the written Word, God will give you a Word that you have to obey. And we have this over in Zechariah, remember, on the two sides of the veil. All right? Then you have the statutes in verse 5 and verse 8. A decreed limit. A decreed limit. How many of God's Spirit-baptized people today are leaping over the decreed limit? I want to say just a word about marriage and this area of our lives. And God is grieved deeply because of the looseness that there is in the marriage relationships of His people today. We need to stay in the decreed limit or the portion that is given unto us. How we covet one another's place in the body. We need to stay in the decreed limit of our calling. All right, then we have the word commandment. It's found in verse 6. And a commandment is a thing ordered or ordained. See, when they built this tabernacle, they were to build it according to the pattern. And yet how we introduce into the body of Christ and into our own lives many things that are not found in the pattern. Then we have the word judgment. Seven words here that have to do with the Word of God. And the word judgment is found in verse 7. And it means the things determined or ordered or regulated. Want to go through the veil? Here's a little passage of Scripture that has something to do with it. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Anything that is defiled is not going to go through. The ass cannot go through. He's an unclean beast. He's defiled. But the people that go through the veil are an ox people, and they take the yoke upon them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. This is God Himself. God Himself has these characteristics, and He displayed them in perfection in His Son. And these that would come up into that special sonship must also have these four qualifications. Amen. Sing right. Any questions? Let us have a see if there's any questions here, any thoughts. All right, I think that question was asked yesterday, and we suggested to you that I think probably they will. I don't see a sequence of events in the book of Revelation on this. The seven stars all appear simultaneously in His hand. And yet I'm open. It might be that God will appear here and there and so on, maybe in the bounds of a short time and do it that way. But we'll just leave it open. Okay? Any other thoughts? Yeah. All right. What do you want to sing? Praise the Lord. They don't write songs about oxen. Come on, Frank, and lead us in this. Huh? All right. You've heard of Message on the Ox. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.